אנחנו לומדים את מאמר הרבש, מהי חשיבות חתן.
We are studying the article of Rabash, what is the importance of the groom that his iniquities are forgiven. You find the article in the Arvut system and in the writings of Rabash.
Rabash,
what is the importance of the groom that his iniquities are forgiven?
Chazal amru, Gimel,
our sages said, three are forgiven their iniquities. A Gentile who converted, one who becomes great, and one who marries a woman. From this we learn that this is why she is called Machalat, since his iniquities nimchalu, have been forgiven. Conversely, in the portion Vaishlach, she is called Bosmat, daughter of Ishmael, presented in Rashi. This verse requires explanation. Our sages tell us that forgiving the iniquities of the groom on his wedding day comes from Esav, who took the daughter of Ishmael, whose name was Bosmat, daughter of Ishmael. Since it is written in the portion Toldot, Esav went to Ishmael and took Machalat, the daughter of Ishmael, it is an evidence that on his wedding day, the groom is forgiven his iniquities. It follows that we learn this entire basis from wicked Esav, who took the daughter of wicked Ishmael. This is difficult to understand. After all, what is a wicked one? It is one who says that there are no sins in the world, and he can do what his heart desires, because a wicked one believes in nothing.
Thus,
the wicked one says that he never sins. Therefore, why does he need his iniquities forgiven? Is a person given that which he does not want? After all, there is no light without a kli, a vessel, no filling without a lack. It is even more difficult to understand what is the real reason that he deserves absolution. What is his privilege? Is it because he took a wife that he deserves his iniquities forgiven? It makes sense that one who does a great deed, which we cannot appreciate the importance of the matter, then we understand that he deserves a great reward for this, to the point of absolving his iniquities. But what great thing did he do by taking a wife? Also, we see that saying a litany is a great thing. There is the matter of 13 qualities there, as well as kneeling. But if there is a groom in the synagogue, we do not say the litany. We should understand the importance of taking a wife, that all 7 days of the seven blessings, it has the power to cancel a prayer, which is so important, because he took a woman who is now called a bride. There are many explanations in the literal, but we should interpret this in the work. What does it come to teach us? The wicked Esav is when a person has realized that the bad thing in the world, which prevents all created beings from achieving the delight and pleasure for which the world was created, which is the meaning of bad, has become in him as a sav, from the word asiya, doing.
Milshon asiya.
His evil has been completed with clear knowledge that it is the will to receive for himself. At that time comes the order of turn away from evil, meaning that before a person knows that the will to receive is called bad, it is impossible to turn away from it and not listen to it. Afterward begins the matter of and do good. Do good means assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven. However, a person cannot be rewarded with the quality of a woman who fears God. Rather, a person must receive this from above. As it is written, he who comes to purify is aided. The Zohar says that he is given a soul, and this is the assistance that a person receives. It follows that this soul was born by the Creator hearing him when he came to purify. This soul is called a daughter, which was born out of the Creator hearing his prayer. Once a person has come to the recognition of evil, called Esav. This is the meaning of what is written, and Esav went and took Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael. Went means to a higher degree. Once he has come to the recognition of evil, called Esav.
El Ishmael.
To Ishmael. Meaning the Lord will hear. That is, at that time he engaged in the form of do good, praying to the Creator to hear his prayer and give him a soul, as it is said in the Zohar. This is the meaning of he took machalat, meaning he took the absolution of iniquities by which he was rewarded with a daughter from which the Creator heard his prayer. This is called the daughter of Yishma'el, the Lord will hear. This follows a certain procession. One, exertion to see the truth. As much as he understands that the will to receive for himself is harming him. At that time, he can determine once and for all not to use it. And this is called Esav. Two. Afterward, he is rewarded with taking a woman by forgiving the iniquities. At that time, it is possible to be rewarded with it. You can understand the meaning of a woman, which is the soul he is given from above, according to what is explained in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. Then the Creator helps him and one attains open providence, meaning the revelation of the face. Then he is rewarded with complete repentance, meaning he cleaves to the Creator once more with his heart, soul, and might, as though naturally drawn by the attainment of the open providence. Naturally, one who is imparted this open providence is certain that he will not sin again, as one is certain that he will not cut in his own flesh and cause himself terrible suffering. In addition, one is certain that he will not neglect a mitzvah, commandment, or a good deed without performing it the instant it comes to his hand, as much as one is certain that he will not neglect any worldly pleasure or a great profit that comes into his hand. This repentance is regarded as his iniquities being forgiven.
According to the rule that all the commandments extend from branch and root, meaning that each mitzvah, commandment, in corporeality has its root in spirituality, we can say that what extends from this is that in corporeality too, when a man takes a woman, his iniquities are forgiven, which implies to spirituality. Now we can interpret what our sages said, how to dance before the bride, and did not say how to dance before the groom. Conversely, according to the wedding meal, they said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him transgresses in five voices, the voice of merriment and the voice of gladness, the voice of the groom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say thank. They did not say that we must delight the bride. And they did not say that there is a bride's meal, but only a groom's meal. We find that on Jacob's wedding, Lavan made the meal, as it is written, and Lavan assembled all the men of the place and made a feast, meaning that the meal came from the side of the bride, that the bride's father made the meal, and not Jacob, who was the groom. According to what Bala Sulam explained, that groom means Torah, and bride means faith. We should interpret what we asked. Until a person acquires permanent faith, he has a sense and a sense. Since a person is born with a vessel of reception, and that vessel wants to engage in things that the mind says are worthwhile to engage in, meaning they will benefit the will to receive for oneself. Otherwise, he cannot work. Also, since faith is above reason, meaning that the reason cannot stand them, there is a matter of ups and downs here.
שזה נקרא בחינת ריקוד.
This is called a dance. Since we see that when dancing we lift our legs and bring them back down repeatedly, this implies that since raglaim, legs, come from the word meraglim, spies, meaning that when one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven and serve him only lishma for her sake, the person's intellect immediately comes and makes him see that he should not be rash, but first see if it is worthwhile to serve the Creator, not in order to receive reward. Therefore, when lifting legs, meaning when we go above our reason and intellect, it is regarded as lifting our legs above the earth. However, a person cannot always overcome and go above reason. And this is considered placing one's feet on the ground once more. This is the meaning of what he says, how to dance before the bride. Before the bride means during the ascent called panim, face. What should he say about the bride? What is the merit that he has found in faith? Meaning, what did he see in it that we should say that this is why he took upon himself the burden of faith? Beit Shammai say, a bride the way she is, meaning that according to how he feels her importance, so he takes upon himself the faith. That is, he does not need to find any merit in her. Even if he feels no importance about her, he takes upon himself what we were told to believe. And this is all of our merit. If we can take upon ourselves this work, which we believe is the Creator's will, and we need not look for any merits, but simply believe and take upon ourselves by coercion, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. Bet Hillel say, a bride fair and pious. We should interpret that this means that a person should say about what he sees, they have eyes and do not see. And considering what he hears, we should say, they have ears and do not hear. That is, seeing is not necessarily with the eyes, but there is seeing in the mind. That is, the mind shows him depictions that contradict faith. And he often hears what the mind makes him see. That work for the sake of the Creator is not for him. He should overcome all this and say, they have eyes and do not see. That is, what the mind tells him and makes him see is not the truth. This is called they have eyes and do not see the truth. They have ears and do not hear the truth. Therefore, their thoughts, meaning what the will to receive for himself tells him, is not the truth. Rather, he should tell himself that indeed she is a fair and pious bride. Except he is unfit to see the truth right now.
Yet,
the truth is that all the delight and pleasure that the will to receive can receive in his vessels is but a slim light compared to the light that dresses in the vessels of bestowal. This is called a fair bride. Yet, a person cannot always overcome his mind and reason. This is why there is the matter of dances in faith, of which our sages said, how to dance before the bride? That is, what can we say to the panim, the face of the bride, since panim pertains to a man's wisdom, illuminates his face? Thus he should say, what is the praise that there is in the bride called faith? This is the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Whether to say a bride the way she is, or a bride fair and pious. This is not so with the groom. The Creator called Torah, and the Torah is considered a gift. There is no dancing because when a person receives a gift, it cannot be said that he has a descent. Meaning that he does not want to receive gifts. Only where there is labor and a person must overcome against the reason, it can be said that at times he can overcome and at times he cannot. Conversely, when receiving gifts, how can it be said that he has no need for gifts? This is why they did not say how to dance before the groom, but how to dance before the bride. Conversely, considering a meal, it is written, one who enjoys a groom's meal. And it is not written, one who enjoys a bride's meal. The reason is that a groom is regarded as the Torah, and the Torah is a gift. Our sages said, from Matana, a gift to Nachliel. Where it writes, why is this written? And from the desert to Matana, and from Matana to Nachniel, and from Nachniel to Bamot, and from Bamot to the valley. He said to him, if a man makes himself like this desert, which everyone treads, the Torah was given to him as a gift. And since it was given to him as a gift, he inherits God. As was said, from Matana to Nachniel, rivers of God.
Yadua, sheyesh le'akadosh baruch hu harbe shemot.
It is known that the Creator has many names, according to what He reveals to the lower ones. That is, it depends on the extent to which He bestows upon the lower ones. That is, according to the merit of the lower ones, He bestows upon abundance upon them. And since there are many discernments in the receivers, as it is written, as their faces are not similar to one another, their views are not similar to one another. And as we learn in the work, that a person himself also undergoes changing states. Therefore, the abundance of the Creator changes into many discernments. But the Creator has no name, since there is no thought or perception in Him whatsoever. Rather, it is said, rather, it is as it is written, by your actions we will know you. That is, according to the abundance He bestows, so we name Him. For this reason, with regard to the Torah, the Creator is called Groom. When He bestows faith, He is called Bride. With respect to the purpose of creation, which is His will to do good to His creations, for the whole world to enjoy, meaning enjoy in the way that is called His desire to be good, meaning that He sustains the klipot as well, or they would not be able to exist in the world. This is what, as the Zohar says, that they have but a slim light. But in the Torah and Mitzvot, the light clothed there is by way of the whole Torah is the names of the Creator, whose general name is the good that does good. According to the above, the Creator is called Groom because He is the giver and bestows upon the lower ones. The creature's enjoyment from the joy He gives them, and as was said, that the whole world enjoys comes from Him. All the pleasures are called meal. It follows that the whole world is enjoying the king's meal. There is a difference from the perspective of the lower ones. There are lower ones who believe that this is a meal that comes from the king. And there are secular people who do not believe that the meal comes from the Creator, who is called King. With regard to His being the giver, He is called a groom. This is, as our sages said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him transgresses five voices. That is, although they believe that the meal is a groom's meal and thank him for their pleasure, there is still a higher level, meaning that by enjoying, they should delight the king. According to the above, that the Creator is called Groom, how can we speak of delighting the Creator? It is known that joy comes as a result of something, When a person obtains something, obtains something new that he yearned for and received it, it engenders joy in a person. But what can we say that the Creator is missing, that if he receives it, he will be happy? The Zohar says, there was no joy before the Creator since the day the world was created. Like the joy he is destined to have with the righteous in the future. We should also understand this verse. How can it be said that the Creator receives delight? As we learn, the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. It follows that when the lower ones receive the delight and pleasure that he has prepared for them, he derives pleasure from this, as it is known from the allegory about the king who has a tower filled with abundance but no guests. Therefore, we attribute the meal to the Creator as a groom, that he is regarded as the Torah, a gift. Nachliel, rivers of God. When the creatures receive the delight and pleasure called meal, they must receive everything in order to bestow, and not because of self-reception. This is the meaning of what our sages said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him, but receives for his own sake, transgresses five voices. The five voices imply the completeness of the degree that must be revealed to the creatures. That is, his will to do good to his creations is revealed in five discernments called five parts of the soul, which are Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. This is why our sages said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him, meaning his intention in enjoying the meal is not to please the Creator, in that the purpose of creation is achieved in its complete correction, but rather his own benefit. Then he causes five voices, meaning Neran Chai, that should be revealed to move away from him. Since there was restriction on the vessels of reception for himself, thus the light does not extend to that place, and that place requires correction in order to bestow. Yet, he does not regard it, and therefore causes the abundance not to reach the lower ones. It therefore follows that our sages warn us that we must prepare ourselves with much work and labor to 1. Believe that any pleasure we receive in the world is regarded as the king's meal. However, we must believe this, and because of it, our sages have set up a specific blessing for each and every pleasure. A blessing for the prayer, a blessing for the Torah, and also for corporeal pleasures. We must try to receive any pleasure that we receive from the king's meal in order to bestow and not for our own sake. Conversely, when the Creator bestows upon the lower ones as a bribe, which is faith, it is still not regarded as a meal, but rather there are ups and down here. This is why there are dances here.
וירידות. לכן שייך שם ריקודים.
תודה לניב.
Thank you, Niv.
נו, שאלות?
Well, questions? None.
שלום, מה יש לך?
Shlomo, what's with you?
רק רציתי...
מה לעשות?
לא, לא.
You don't know what to do.
להביא את ההתרשמות.
I wanted to bring my impression that we learned Bala Sulam's article, The Introduction to the Book of Zohar.
So
it's like he there describes the upper roots, and here the Rabash makes a connection between the corporeal branch, how to approach the studies, not just the flow, but to actually connect us to those states that we can receive them correctly. It's a very strong impression.
Okay. We will attain this to once. Who's there? Yes, please.
שאלה לגבי
question about faith. He writes that there's two types of approach, the house of Shammai and house of Hillel. House of Shammai, he says it's the way it is, that you don't have to find any praise, even if he doesn't feel importance. He takes it upon himself. And Bet Hillel say that she is pious and fair. And then he interprets in Bet Hillel. So it changes in a person, or are there times that it's this way and times that it's that way? How does it work, this approach?
What is the question about?
About faith, how to accept it.
אני יכול רק לחזור על מה שכתוב, אני לא...
I can just repeat what is said here.
Yes, please.
הוא אומר לגבי האמונה, ש...
It says about faith, that there's an approach, that Bet Shammai say as it is. Meaning, according to the importance he feels, that's what he takes upon himself, the faith. That you don't have to find any praise, but even if he doesn't feel any importance, he takes the faith upon himself. That's Bet Shammai. Bet Hillel say that the fair and pious bride should be interpreted, that a person should say about what he sees, they have eyes and shall not see. And what he hears, he has to say, they have ears and shall not hear. That seeing is not specifically in the eyes, but there's seeing in thought. So I don't understand the differences between those approaches.
Well, continue, mister.
That's a question.
Yes, I continue.
What continue? Reading?
Yes.
אלא שיש ראייה במחשבה...
There is seeing in thought, and the interpretation is that what the mind shows him, depictions that contradict his faith, he often hears what the mind makes him see, that the work for the sake of the Creator is not for him. He should overcome all this and say, they have eyes and shall not see. that is what the mind tells him and makes him see is not the truth. This is called that they have eyes and do not see the truth. They have ears and do not hear the truth. Therefore, their thoughts, meaning what the will to receive for himself tells him, is not the truth. Rather, he should tell himself that indeed she is fair and pious bride, except he is unfit to see the truth right now.
No.
Yes.
So it's not clear, because in two cases he doesn't understand the importance of faith, but Beit Shammai say you won't.
He doesn't need to understand, he needs to determine. According to what does he determine?
In both cases, he doesn't take his senses into account, his ears and
his intellect.
Yeah, the intellect, the reason. So what's the difference between one another? I have the same question.
What should he do?
He says, either Beit Shammai, as it is,
yes,
as he feels her importance, that's how he can accept faith.
Yes.
That he doesn't have to find any praise in her, but even though he doesn't feel any importance in her, he takes what he should believe, that this is all the praise.
Yes.
If we could take the work on himself to believe that this is his will. And he should not look for any praise, just believe. And take it as coercion.
Yes.
That's Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel say this, to say that she is pious and fair, they have eyes and they shall not see.
Meaning we attain.
So that's the question.
Okay, so with this question, we bid farewell. Yes, Dudi?
I wanted to ask, during the day, every 10 makes a preparation for the next day and reads an article as a preparation. What is the right thing for us to read for tomorrow as a preparation for the lesson? Should we read Rabash or from the introduction to the book of Zohar that we started today?
We started the introduction to the book of Zohar. Now the question is, in which articles are we in general? We finished all the articles.
We finished what articles? Of Rabash or Bala Sulam?
Yes.
We have about another 40 Rabash articles.
Oh, we do?
Part of them will be about Purim and Passover that we're going to read in the next month.
Well, I'm not talking about the holidays, because toward the holidays we have to renew things. So see for yourselves how much time we have until the holiday and how much material there is for it, and divide it this way and see from when. That's it.
Tomorrow in the lesson, we'll start in the introduction to the book of Zohar, as we did today. Then we'll read a Rabash article. Another one of the articles that we haven't read yet in this current turnaround.
Yes. Okay.
During the day, when a 10 has, let's say, a half an hour to sit and read an article to prepare for the next lesson, what should they read? The introduction of Bala Sulam or the Rabash article? What's more right? What will prepare us better for the lesson?
I think the introduction of Bala Sulam.
Okay,
that's it.
So what preparation, in general I'm asking now, what preparation should we, the whole world Kli, do in order to receive more from the Rav in the lessons, that you'll be able to open more?
It's only the connection between us. I don't have anything else to do. We talked about all kinds of states, we learned these things. Now, from the introductions of Rabash and Bala Sulam especially, we will come, we'll advance to faith above reason.
The introduction by Bala Sulam, it's like a bridge, it's like a renewing towards something new and great. What is special in our time? Towards what corrections are we going to?
We are in the period of corrections, truly corrections. And here we have Purim, Pesach, Passover. This whole period is a very... it's a blessed period. That's it.
So what should be our emphasis on this time?
We should place emphasis, as we learn now, in what way our Kli should be, our vessel, in order to receive directly from the study, from the Creator, the bestowal or the influence. That's it.
Ken.
Yes?
For
a long time we would start the lesson with a Rabash article, 40-50 minutes of reading, then go to the Bala Sulam readings. It seems that the ability to absorb and understand in the beginning of the lesson is higher than in the second part. So why did we change it, that we're starting from Bala Sulam and then going to Rabash?
I thought you decided this.
No.
Well,
we asked you what we should do, and you said we should start with the introduction. We asked you a few times. You said that it's more fundamental, and that's what we should read now.
Yes, it's from Bala Sulam.
Okay, toda.
Thank you.
Is someone over there?
How does disease, machala, connected to forgiveness? He plays with those words there.
I don't know.
Why isn't faith a gift?
Faith should also be acquired. That's it. Okay, guys. Yes? Well, we're asking questions.
Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel nishma kmo...
Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel sound like 2 degrees of above reason. Is that the way it is? Is it? Like above reason, only in bestowing, Bet Hillel is already in order to receive, receiving in order to bestow.
We will scrutinize this. We will scrutinize it. Throughout the discussions, they are present, one opposite the other. Okay, so if there are no... what?
Rav,
Does a person correct himself and by that correct the whole world?
I don't know. I guess yes, but I don't know what you think by this. Okay, guys. Niv.
Announcements. Dear friends, you are invited to Unity Day for Purim on Saturday, the 23rd of March. For details and registration, go to the website convention.cli.one. Today's schedule, Tuesday at noon, the lesson, 5:30 Tess, and 7:30 Zohar. We'll end with a song.
מאהבה נולדנו כולם, אל האהבה נחזור. הדמעות מלוכות כמו הים, הניצות שבאנו כמו אור. אלפי דרכים בעולם, רק אחת תוביל אל הדרור. בין השמחות והדמעות, איך נדע מה לבחור? איך נדע, איך נדע, החיים הם נד נדע. מהאמת רואים מפוך, מגבוה רואים נמוך. איך נדע, איך נדע, החיים הם נד נדע. מהאמת רואים מפוך, מגבוה. הגגו הגובר
מורח ילדות שנצרח
עוד מהבית הישן בחצר בליבו של כל אדם
יש ניצות של אהבה
כמו כינור ומיתרה כמה יפה מה